go ahead and take a break. Don't go too far. Go and take five. Amen. Let's all stand real quick as we read. I'm sorry, you guys are getting your exercise this morning. Praise the Lord. Psalms 119. And while you guys are turning there, I just want to take this opportunity to thank my pastor for this awesome privilege to preach behind the pulpit on Sunday morning. Amen. I don't take it lightly. Such a tremendous responsibility as it is a privilege. Amen. Give me a loud amen when you get there. Psalms 119. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. And the Bible says, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me." Father, we love you. We thank you for your word, God. We just pray, Lord, that you would be here this morning, that your Holy Spirit, God, would have full control of the service. Father, we pray for your word to come forth with power, Lord, and we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can have your seats here this morning. Amen. Here in Psalms 119, we read, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with their heart." And that's verses 1 and 2 is where I want to key in this morning. The meaning of the word blessed here is actually plural. It means fullness, as in double fullness or overflowing, or having an overflow of blessings. And so we see in, you know, this morning I want to talk to you about being blessed, about living a blessed life, about expecting to be blessed. This is our year of expectation. And see, sometimes we don't even expect to get blessed. We walk around not expecting the blessings of God. But I'm here to declare to you this morning, as children of the living God, as men and women of God, as co-heirs to the kingdom of Christ, as a chosen generation, as a royal priesthood, you can expect to get blessed. You should be expecting a blessing. You should walk on a daily, your daily lives, expecting to live a blessed life, and not just blessed. The Bible's the word here for blessed isn't just talking about the singular blessed, as in a blessing. It's talking about blessings, as in blessings upon blessings, as in living a double blessed, an overflow, living in overflow, living in abundance, not living in just enough, but living a more than enough life. Now, I don't know about you, but I get excited when I read in the Word of God about living a blessed upon blessed, blessings upon blessings, an overflow type of life. Now, I'm not getting a lot of amens because a lot of you ain't there. You can't see it. You can't live in it. You can't walk in it. When you take a look at your address doesn't say I'm blessed. Maybe your address says I'm not blessed. But I'm here to move your location this morning. You're going to be relocated. You're about to go on a move. Come on, pack up the U-Haul and get in the truck, because your new address is about to be blessed. You got to come into 2018 knowing that you are going to be a blessed man or woman of God. Blessed. best. I can't sing. You know I can't sing. I'm going to still do it. That's not something I was blessed with. Blessed. Blessed. Expecting a blessing. Somebody say blessed. Blessed. Say I'm blessed. Say you're blessed. Say we're blessed. Come on. You got to see it. You got to own it. You got to own your blessed. See, you don't have to settle for your situation. You don't got to put up with your current position. You don't have to give in to the way you've been living. But you, my friend, you know what? Don't you dare. Don't you dare settle for anything less than God's best. Don't you dare settle. Don't you dare give in. Don't you dare put up with. Don't you dare say, oh, well, at least I got this. Or at least I got that. Or at least I'm not there. Or at least I don't do this no more. Listen, you haven't been called to be at least. You weren't called to be I settled. You weren't called to be I'm just going to be right here. But you were called to be a blessed people. To walk in blessing. To walk in God's favor. That's who you are. That's why God made you. Oh, you see, some of you guys don't receive that because you still don't know why God made you. You thought you were an accident. Come on, somebody. You thought that this was a coincidence. You're in Victory Outreach Albuquerque this morning. It ain't no coincidence. This ain't the reason you're here is because God called you. Because God has a purpose for your life. Because God has a plan for your life. And that plan involves you living a blessed life. That's what I preach to myself. I'm blessed. Woo. If I can get some. Man, if Lena's mom was here right now, you know what I'm talking about. Now, the meaning of the word blameless means complete or having integrity. See, the Bible says, blessed are those whose walk are blameless. Sorry, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. So when we see the word blameless means complete or having integrity. Now, this morning I want to talk to you about lining yourself up with the Word of God. Now, see, when you line yourself up with the Word of God, you can also line yourself up with the blessings of God. When you line yourself up with the Word of God, then you can get lined up with the promises of God. Now, I'm not talking about getting in line. And I'm not talking about being in a lineup. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about lining yourself up. See, sometimes we think about we have to get in line for a blessing. I'm not talking about getting in line for a blessing. I'm talking about being in line for a blessing. Right? See, some of us still have that old mentality where we got to wait in line. Well, I got to wait for my turn. I got to wait in line. It ain't my, you know, I'm number, you guys ever seen Beetlejuice? The original one where he picked up that long number and it was like 1 quadrillion, whatever. It's super long. See, that's not the kind of line I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting your life lined up to the Word of God. You know, just recently we went to Winter Retreat, and it was an awesome, amazing time at Winter Retreat with all the young people. So powerful. But right before we went to Winter Retreat, you know, me and my wife, we run the discipleship home for young women, right? Serving the Lord, young adult women. And one of them, I'm not going to call out her name today. But there's only 3, so you guys can do a process of elimination if you like. So one of them borrows my wife's car. And we're all family, right? We're Victory Outreach. They're not like, you know, it's not a program. We're family. And so she borrows the car. She has a license. It's legit. But what happens is she goes and she hits a curb. 2 days before Winter Retreat, she curbs it, right? some of you, and I'm not here to talk about who's better drivers, men or women. We're not doing that today. Okay? It's not about, it's just this particular situation, it just happened to be a girl. So she curbs it, right? And then after she curbs it, and it goes on, you know, Sean came to the rescue, got it taken care of, amen. But then after we get the new tire, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I mean, we put the steering wheel straight, and we're going this way. You guys know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? So in order to go straight, we got to turn their steering wheel sideways. Right? Now, what is that called? It's your alignment. It's your alignment. Follow me here. So if we were to pull the steering wheel straight, we would be going the wrong direction. See, sometimes we can be like that in our Christian walk. Right? We think we're going the right way. But if we're not, if we don't have the right alignment, right? If we're not lined up correctly with the Word of God and the purpose of God, even though our steering wheel is straight, we're going the wrong direction. Right? So what do we need to do? We gotta go get an alignment. Right? I was talking with a car expert this morning. I'm proclaiming him a car expert. And he said, you know what? You cannot do it. Don't do an alignment yourself because it's a precise procedure, especially in newer cars. You got to take it to a professional because it's like laser. What was the term used? I'm not going to put you on blast, but you said it. It's like precise, right? It's a precise procedure. So we go to Firestone. Come on, somebody. $80. It's all good. But we get lined up. And now when we point the steering wheel straight and it's straight, the car goes straight. Right? Why? Because we lined the car up. The car is in alignment. And I want to ask you this morning, in 2017, did you hit a few curves? Come on. Did you curve it last year? Right? I said some of you might have curbed it last year. Some of you might have had a full-on wreck last year. But that's okay. Because all you got to do is call on the name of the Lord. All you got to do is line yourself up with the Word of God. Yeah, you might have hit a curb last year. Yeah, you might have got off track. Yeah, you might have stumbled or fell or not been doing what you were supposed to be doing. But you have an opportunity now to make everything go right. All things can become new if you align your life up with the Word of God. Somebody shout, I curbed it. But I'm about to get lined up. I told my wife I should have bought her a bumper car. Come on, somebody. I'm not even looking at her right now. I'm looking this way. Looking at my notes. You can't walk the same way you walked last year. You can't do it. If you want the same result as last year, then you can do it. But if you want a different result this year, you got to walk differently. Genesis 32, verse 22 says, that night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all of his possessions. And here we're going to read real briefly on the story when Jacob wrestled with God. The first thing Jacob did, because he needed to get his life lined up. The first thing he did is he got alone with God. Was 2017 a year where you spent some time with Jesus? Did you spend some time? I'm not talking about spending some time at church. Even though we come to church and we're in the presence of God and we hear a word from God. I'm talking about spending some time with Jesus. Spend some time in your Bible. Spend some time in prayer. Lining yourself. If you see the problem is sometimes we don't know how to line ourselves up with the Word of God because we don't know what the Word of God says. Right? See, some of you might have a crooked steering wheel, but you don't know what a straight steering wheel looks like, so you don't know your steering wheel is crooked. Right? In order for us to understand that we're not lined up with the Word, we have to be in God's Word. We have to be in God's Word. We have to line ourselves up. We have to spend some alone time with the Lord. Verse 24 says, so Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Now, question this morning, are you ready to wrestle for your blessing? Are you ready to wrestle? Are you ready to wrestle? Ready to fight for it? Right? Some things you got to fight for. You got to wrestle. You got to say, you know what? I refuse to be the same. I refuse to live the same life. I refuse to live below average. I refuse to live in not enough. And see, right here, Jacob, on purpose, God had told him in a previous portion of Scripture that it was time to go back and get his blessing. But he knew he couldn't go back the same. Listen, God has told many of you that you have a blessing, that you have a promise, that you have a purpose. But he's also said you cannot get to where you're going if you stay the same. Jacob knew he had to do something desperate. So what did he do? He got along with God, and he began to wrestle, began to fight for it, right? Began to wrestle, he began to struggle. Verse 25, when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go until you bless me. That has to be our mentality. That, you know what, I refuse to leave this place the same. I refuse to have this year be the same as last year. I refuse to be the same person as I used to be. He said, I will not let go until you bless me. I ain't going to let go of the altar of God. I'm not going to let go of the altar here at church. I'm not going to let go of your word. I'm not going to let go of your presence until you bless me. That's very, we can't be so easy to give up all the time. Come on, somebody. Right? What, one little trial. Come on. You know it was a little trial. You know. This is the kind of trial you look back 2 weeks later and you're like, even yourself, you're like, really? Really? Come on, somebody. Come on, man. Verse 27. The man asked him, what is your name? The man asked him, what is your name? And Jacob, he answered. The man asked him, what is your name? You've been struggling with me. You've been wrestling with me. You've gotten alone. You've separated yourself. Now tell me your name. See, a name says a lot about a person. And see, Jacob's name meant deceiver. It meant thief, supplanter. And see, that's who Jacob used to be. That's who Jacob was last year. That was who Jacob was before. And see, we can't go into something new carrying the old name. Carrying the same jacket that we had. We can't do it. He asked him, tell me what your name is. Tell me who you are. And Jacob said, my name is Jacob. I'm a deceiver. And see, sometimes we have to tell God what our name is. Right? You can't act all holy in front of God. You can't lie to God. Right? We come to the altar, Lord. We try to convince God how good we are. God, you know I deserve. God, you know what I've been through. And we try to tell God how good we are. See, the Bible says that our righteousness is but filthy rags. See, when you come to God, you got to tell him what your name is. You say, God, I got these issues. I got these problems. I made these mistakes, God. I've been through these trials, these storms, these circumstances. This is where I failed you. This is where I made the mistake. This is where I lied or cheated. This is where I did the thing that I knew I shouldn't have done, but I did it anyways, God. And Jacob, what he said was, God, I want to change, so I'm going to tell you what my real name is. Tell God what your real name is. God, I have doubts. I'm confused. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I have enough faith to make it through tomorrow. Tell God what your real name is. When Jacob was wrestling with God, he wasn't wrestling with God because he knew he deserved a blessing. He was wrestling with God because he knew that God was able to give it to him despite who he was. He said, I want to change. See, sometimes we want the different, but we don't want to be different. Right? God's saying, I got a promise, and you're saying, I'll take it now the way I am. God's saying, you don't get it the way you are. You get it when you line yourself up with my word. And that's what Jacob was doing when he was wrestling. He wasn't wrestling with God because he was mad at God. He was wrestling with God because he knew he needed to change. He knew he needed to change something inside of him. See, sometimes we wrestle with God, and the reason we're wrestling is because we think we deserve something. Instead of wrestling with God saying, I don't want to be the same no more. I want to be different. I can't go one more day being the same person that I've been with the same attitude, speaking the same language, with the same doubt. I can't be the same no more. I can't be addicted. I can't move into my promised land with all that wilderness mentality, that slave mentality, that Egypt mentality. I can't move into the blessing that you have for me because I'm still stuck. He said, what is your name? What's your real name? He said, my name is Jacob. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcame. See, it's time for a new name. It's time, yeah, you've struggled with God. Yeah, you struggled with people. How many of you say, yeah, I've struggled with people all last year? Come on, somebody. I've been struggling with people. Come on. I preached to myself. I've been struggling with people. Come on, somebody. Look at them if they're here. No, don't look at them. I'm just kidding. But I've been in the fight. I've been in the struggle. He said, because you were in the struggle. Because you told me what your real name was. Because you've been struggling on your knees and in my word. Because you've been struggling trying to get along and make yourself better. Because you lined yourself up with the word of God. Your name will no longer be Jacob, but it'll be Israel. Because you have struggled and have overcome. This is not your year of struggle. This is your year of expecting God's blessing. I said, you already crossed the river, baby. It's just time to get your promise. Verse 29. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. Verse 30. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. What does that mean? He said he had a gangster lean. I didn't say it. The Bible said it right there. Verse 31. Right? He wasn't walking the same no more. Right? He was walking differently. You could tell when someone got it. Right? You could tell. You could tell when someone's not faking until they make it. Come on, somebody. Because they walk differently. They walk in confidence. They walk knowing that God is with them. They don't talk the same. They don't use the same language. They're not talking about other people no more. They're talking about the blessings of God and not the problems of people. Ow! They're walking differently. See, when you have an encounter with God and you struggle and overcome, then your walk has to be different. God will make your walk different. You won't walk the same. You won't walk in defeat. You won't walk in trial. You won't walk defeated. You won't walk ashamed. You won't walk the same way you were walking. But you're walking knowing, expecting the blessings of God. Walking differently. You can't help but walk differently. Because you no longer just want to be different. God made you different. Second thing, the Bible says to keep his statutes. If you want the blessings, you got to keep his statutes. Malachi chapter 3, and when we begin reading verse number 6. I, the Lord, did not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, and here we go with Jacob again, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Verse 8, will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that they might be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be the delight of the land, says the Lord Almighty. So not only do we have to line ourselves up with the Word of God, then the Bible says if we want the blessings, then we have to keep His statutes, right? See, a lot of people, they're saying, I want to change, and then when it's time to give, they say, oh, but I don't want to give. Now, when you experience something for yourself, you can't deny it anymore. You can't deny it. And that's why I have all the confidence of preaching this portion of Scripture. Because I have lived and experienced this portion of Scripture. I've lived it. Listen, I used to be a dirty dope fiend. Right? I was a meth addict. I ain't got no GED. Come on, somebody. I ain't bragging. But I talk to people. They're like, oh, I'm going to go back to get my GED. It's like, they ask me, hey, are you going to go get your GED? I'm like, I already make more money than everybody else at my job. Why would I get my GED? I'm not saying don't get your GED. That's what I'm not saying. I believe in education. That's not thank you. She said, don't preach it like that. Preach it the other way. I believe in education. But listen, God is so good. God is so good. And when you line yourself up with the Word of God, I know we're stepping into a new year, and this is why I really wanted to hit these issues right here, because, see, you don't want to waste another year. You blink, it's going to be June. And you're going to be living the same life you lived last year. Your bills are going to be stacked up. You're going to be mad. You're going to be angry. You're going to have marital problems. All these things are going to happen. But if you line yourself up with the Word of God, right, then you begin to expect blessings. And this part right here where it's talking about bringing your whole tithe into the storehouse, right, bringing your whole tithe so we can throw open the windows of heaven. Listen, when I got my first job outside the recovery home, my tithe was $20, right? And what I do, I brought my $20 in, right? I told some people the story of why I brought that $20 in, because I knew the girl I liked worked in the office, and I'm not going to try to be spiritual right now. The reason I started tithing, because I knew Sister Michelle worked in the office. And I didn't have a chance unless I gave my tithes. It was a Holy Ghost setup, though. It was a setup. So I brought my $20, right? $20 tithes. I wrote real nice handwriting, right? I wanted her to think, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't got chicken scratch over here. Pray over it, Lord, let her see this. God, speak to her, God. But that's where it all started. It was tithing $20, right? And that was 14 years ago, right? $20. My tithe now is $200. My tithe is 10 times greater. It was $20 and now it's $200. I'm not bragging. I'm not bragging on me. My tithe is $20. You guys do the math. Now my tithe is $200. Why? Because I'm such a great guy? Because I have an education? I ain't got no education. It's because God is faithful to his promises. That's true, because God is faithful to his promises. 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 Make a fresh commitment this year. Say, I'm going to give my full tithe all year long. My full 10% all year long. I mean, and listen, it wasn't all like roses and rainbows and unicorns and stuff like that. There was times in there where it got rough, but I still gave my tithe. When the market crashed, I lost my job, right? Still gave my tithe. Let me tell you what happened. Let me give you a testimony. Our mortgage was $1,200 a month, right? The market crashed. We went into a remodification, and my mortgage went down to like $600. So even in the struggle, my mortgage was cut in half, and my paycheck got 10 times bigger. Because God is faithful to his promises. God is faithful. Trust in the Lord. Let this be the year that you line yourself up with the word of God. Trusting God. Keeping his statutes. The third thing is, seek him with all your heart. You see, it's his plan, his purpose. If I get the keyboard player up. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, trusting in God, even as you serve God for year after year, now 15, 16 years later, it's, you know, it can still be a challenge. With trials, situations, storms. You look, even the disciples, when the boat was being tossed back and forth, that they lost their trust and Jesus had to come up and calm the storm. Even being so close to Jesus. But the Bible says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. What's saying is believe in God's plan. Don't try to do things on your own. Don't try to do your plan, but believe in God's plan. Line yourself up with the Word of God. Line yourself up with His plan for your life. Quit tripping on all the twists and the turns and every time the boat rocks back and forth. But trust in the plan of God. Even if you can't see His promises coming to pass. Even if it looks like there's nothing over the horizon. Even if you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, listen, trust in the plan of God. God has it all under control. Your future is not a surprise to Him. He knows exactly what He's doing. Trust in the plan of God and lean not on your own understanding. Don't try to figure things out. Don't try to articulate it. Don't try to map it all out. You know, one of the things I like to do is, you know, me and my wife have been serving the Lord for a number of years now, her more than me. And every year at the beginning of the year, I like to make like a plan. You know, this year we're going to do this, right? Anybody? This year, you know, I want to get out of debt. Or this year, and sometimes we start talking about maybe this is the year we get launched out. Right? Sometimes we talk about it. Maybe we're going to take a city. Right? And then, you know, we start making plans. We get on the internet, we Google, like, you know, largest cities without a victory outreach. Or this or that, or where can we still get red and green chili too and not have to, you know what I'm talking about, you know the way you think. And we start making plans. You know what, by the end of this year, this is going to happen. By the end of next year, that's going to happen. And we got it all mapped out. We say, you know what, God, don't worry about it. I already made the plan. I saved you the trouble, God. You know what? I'm going to quit my job. You know what? I know you didn't tell me to, but I'm going to do it anyways. God, I'm going to move to this place or that city where I'm going to start dating that person. I know I didn't talk to you first about it, God, but I'm going to do it anyways. The Bible says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, some of you thought you all had it all figured out. Come on, somebody. And then year after year, just like clockwork, God says, no, 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 no. That wasn't the plan that I had for you. As a matter of fact, since you went your own direction, I got to take the time to bring you back. Let's take this opportunity to line ourselves up with the Word of God. This morning, if you've been out there, maybe you've been making mistakes, maybe you've been running from the call of God, you're running from God's purpose, took a couple of wrong turns, maybe you curved it, come on somebody, scratched your rim right up, this is your year to get aligned, to get lined up. Take this opportunity now, the first month of the year. We're just barely in, just a few weeks in. This could be the best year of your life. This could be your year of blessings. This could be your year of walking in the promises of God. All you got to do is make a little adjustment. Say, God, I want to line myself up. I know I haven't been living the way I'm supposed to be living, but I want to get back on track. Lord, I know I haven't been given what you've said to give, but I want to line myself back up. I've been holding back my tithe. I've been holding back my seed. I've been holding back my offering. And because of that, you've had to hold back your promises. But this is the year that I don't hold back and you open up the floodgates. That I don't hold back and you open up the floodgates. You know, when I was researching that portion of scripture in Psalms 119, it had another meaning to the word blessed. Not just double blessed or overflow. But the word blessed itself meant joyful. And your Bible might even say joyful in your translation. He said, joyful are those that walk in his ways. Joyful are those that keep his statutes. He said, joyful, but not just joyful in the singular. It was joyful in the double. If you're here this morning and you say, I've been living in a place of depression, I've been living in a place where I am unhappy or unjoyful, listen, this is the key. This is it. This is the formula. These are the ingredients for having the joy of your salvation, to live in happiness, is to walk in his ways, to line yourself up with his word, and to keep his statutes. This is it. It's not a great mystery. You don't have to buy a decoder ring. Come on, somebody. You don't have to decipher the riddle. All you've got to do is read His Word and have your life be a reflection of it. And you'll have joy, you'll have happiness, and you'll be blessed. If that's you here this morning, and you fit any of those things, maybe you haven't been living the way you should be living. Maybe you haven't been keeping His statutes. Maybe you haven't been given the way you should be given. Maybe you're not happy. Maybe you don't have joy. Maybe you need a fresh touch from God this morning. Then as everyone stands to their feet, I want you to begin to make your way to this altar and say, you know what? 2018 is going to be my year. God, let me tell you my real name, God.